Hi, it's the top of the hour. This is Laura Berman Fortgang speaking, and we'll begin in about a minute. This is my quarterly Now What call-in hour for people with career transition questions. I've had three questions come in by email. I'll answer those. We're also going to take questions live, but should you be feeling shy and don't want to speak, you can still email me at LBS, my initials, at intercoach.com, intercoach.com, and I'll see them come up in front of me. So we'll just hold for another minute. Welcome, everyone. We'll get started in just about 30 seconds. If you're going to be taking notes or tapping on the computer keys, try to mute yourself with star 6, and you can unmute yourself the same way. There we go. Good. All right, so I'm just going to get us started. I have one after the hour. This is Laura Berman Fortgang speaking. Welcome to the Now What call-in hour. I'm Laura Berman Fortgang. I'm the author of Now What, 90 Days to a New Life Direction, and the owner and founder of NowWhatCoaching.com. We've trained over 500 coaches to use the Now What methodology with their clients, and those coaches can be found on that website, NowWhatCoaching.com. Tonight works as an open call-in hour, meaning that we have as much material to cover as we have people willing to ask questions. So I will begin with a question that came in over email, and then I'll see if anyone wants to have a question live. So this question came from somebody who I don't know if they're on the call, and the question is, and by the way, tonight is for anyone in career transition. If you've read the Now What book or worked with it, great, but if you haven't and you just have career transition questions, I'll do my best to answer them. So here's a question. What advice do you have for people who read the Now What material but didn't see any informational results? So I don't know if this person's on the call. If you are and you want to speak live, just say so. But when someone says, what advice do you have for people who read the Now What material but didn't see any information results, my first guess is that you didn't do the exercises. You just read the book and don't actually engage in the exercises. I doubt you get as much value out of it. Second, if this person did do the exercises, you may need to do a deeper dive, not skim, kind of go deeper, or maybe you need the help of someone who can walk you through it. And I mentioned before, we have coaches who have been trained in this, so they're at nowwhatcoaching.com. There's also a home study kit that I'll tell you about later in the call. If anyone has noise in the background, just press star 6 to mute yourself, and when you want to speak, you can just press that again, and you'll be able to speak. So this person asked, what if I've read it, and I didn't see any results? One, I said you probably didn't do the exercises. Two, if you did, you need to go deeper. And third, and this is important for other people to hear, sometimes doing the Now What program, sometimes the true what now or now what, the true next thing in your life may not be about career at all. Sometimes you miss the mark with this reading just because the truth is maybe you have to work on a personal issue. Maybe there's a therapy issue. Maybe there's some bad habits that need to be corrected. Maybe it's really that there's a divorce pending. But sometimes we'll be like, okay, I've got to change my career. I'm not happy in my work, because we want to avoid having to do the hard work of something else. So thank you for that question. And if you're here and you want to speak, now would be the time.
This is Pat.
Yes. You didn't write this email, though, did you, Pat?
No, I have a question. I don't know if now's the time for it.
Sure, go for it. Hi, Pat. Where are you calling from?
New York.
Good, not too far. Except I think we're all calling out to Vegas to speak together, ironically. Well, what's your question, Pat?
Well, you know, I have a long history in corporate sales management, and I'm a certified sales trainer and business development coach, but I've kind of lost interest in, you know, just helping someone sell something.
Go ahead, Pat.
And I would like, do you hear me?
I can hear you now. I heard you say what your background was, but then I didn't hear the next part.
Okay, but I've lost interest in just helping someone sell something, and would kind of like to make a contribution, to something I care about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what. And at this point, I'm also challenged a little bit with some medical issues, and pretty much can work about 2 to 3 hours a day.
Oh, now we lost
Okay.
Entirely. Pat, you still there?
Can you hear me now?
I can. So I heard that you had a medical challenge, and then I didn't hear what happened after that.
Oh, boy. Okay. So I have a medical challenge, and I can only work about 2 or 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really need to get out of isolation, out of my apartment, and into some kind of environment where there's people, according to my doctor, and I certainly agree with that. So I'm kind of looking for something part-time where I can be part of something and make a contribution and use my skills, and I didn't know if you had any ideas. How to go about something like that.
Well, thank you for stating this all so articulately while, you've been going through a tough time. I used to live in New York City. I know how great it is to do so and how isolating it could be, too, because you're just you in your apartment. Now, you described it really well. You have a great skill set in sales. It's lost its meaning for you. So what do you care about? Regardless if you can make money out of it or not right now, let's not start there. Let's just start with, what do you care about? What do you feel strongly about?
I like to help people. A lot of times when I'm, in business, you're kind of just helping somebody sell something, and you are helping people, but you don't get the sense that these are needy people or that you're making some kind of greater contribution. I've really been at a loss for what to do, and money.
You need money.
Yeah, so it's not like you just go volunteer.
Right, you can't just go volunteer. Got it.
And make $5 or $10 an hour or something,
Right.
And I can only work so many hours, so I have to make sure my hourly wage is at least reasonable.
Right. All right. So you have a great skill set. That you can influence people, and I don't mean manipulate, that you can influence people, that you can listen to them really well. And I would give you as an exercise, are you able to get on the internet and it's easy for you to search around on the internet?
Yeah, I'm on the internet now.
Okay. So I would suggest going on the internet and just looking at all the different kinds of industries that you could get on board with. Part-time sales positions, home-based, they're out there. They're out there in the sense that, we live in a very freelance-based, gig economy kind of world. And say, what could you get on board with? What would you be happy selling? And maybe it's not selling a thing. Maybe it's something where, you might, there's also, are you interested in politics at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so there are paid roles in politics, even if you don't have experience.
Really?
So that might, yes. Having conversations with people on the phone, phone banking. We're about to hit an off year where there's not as much going on, but think of all the things you care about or like, and then start looking online for, are there sales jobs involved with this? Is there a way to be involved in this? And really what it sounds like is you're going to have to make up your next step. It's not like who's looking for me and who's waiting for me as much as it is, what do I care about and how could I craft my own thing? I'm not saying you have to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
I'm just saying you have to be creative. But to just break it down simply, I say, make a list of 10 things that you care about and then start researching online and see if there's a way to make money doing them. I know it sounds simplified, but it's not like we're diving deep here into you being a client for a long period of time. But is that something, a tidbit you could take and walk with?
Well, I certainly, I'll certainly do it. Follow that advice. I feel like I need to, make sure that I get in front of people.
And that may not be work related. You know what I mean? The social aspect or getting out and not getting depressed by being limited. That may just be purely finding like-minded people. You know, like if a reading group or getting out at the Barnes and Noble. Thank goodness there's still a few of those left. Or politics. You know, look for your local affiliation. There's always meetings. There's always something. So in terms of the social, it's even easier.
Right.
Just think of what do I like to do and be around, and what's going on in my neighborhood.
Right.
So that's really just looking for like-minded folks.
Well,
does that make sense?
I will.
You might surprise yourself. You might take up knitting. Who knows?
That's certainly out of the box.
That's out of the box. Hey, look. I started crocheting 2 years ago. Now I have all kinds of crochet friends. It's crazy, right? So people find themselves online or out in their neighborhoods based on their interests. So that goes for you both ways. Separate the social from the work. They may not be two different. They're two different cures to your ills.
Well, I started acting, and my career was starting to take off. I did a couple of shows and a commercial, and
awesome.
Then I got to the point where, physically I can't do it anymore because, those are long days. And
yeah, schlepping around the city.
Yeah.
Or on a set. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm sorry. It sounds like you've lost a lot. And so, it's normal to have some mourning and some loss, and then it's the hard work of finding a way to reinvent and accepting the limitations. I know it's not easy.
Well, I certainly appreciate your help.
Well, thanks for being on the call. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you, Laura.
All right. Thank you. Well, Jody, I know you're on the call because I heard you introduce yourself. So do you want to be on the spot? I'm not going to make
sure.
But you're up for this? Okay. Do you want me to work with the questions you sent me?
Well, actually, I guess what's maybe what's coming up for me right now.
Yeah, tell me what's hot.
I'm really realizing that I'm the direction that I'm interested in moving in. We've talked about it a little bit in the sort of forums for the course, but I'm interested in moving into energy medicine, and that's something that I'm really judging myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm realizing that if I were to move forward, I'm just going to kind of keep creating that reaction in other people because that's a belief that I have about.
Amen. Good coaching yourself there. Good job. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, I'm just sort of picturing telling people, and I'm picturing not being able to excite them or convince them, and I'm picturing telling my family. And so I'm just wondering if you could help walk me through sort of the path forward to working through those beliefs.
Absolutely. But, you said it brilliantly. If you're going to telegraph that you're uncomfortable with it, everyone will just pick up on that and they'll do it too. But let me tell you this. First of all, when everyone in your life tells you you're crazy, you're on the right track. I'd like everyone to hear that tonight. When everyone's like, you're crazy, you're going to walk away from your job, you're crazy, you're going to do that, you're crazy. And that tells me you're totally on the right track.
Okay, great. That's
that means you're listening to your soul and yourself and, and there's something calling you. So I want to tell you a little story. When I was a 29-year-old coach,
a long time ago,
I had very big hair and very 80s shoulder pads, and I knew I was young, and I would be so afraid to get called on that I was not garnering the respect that I wanted. And I remember when I said, you know, if you keep mentioning your age or feeling, you know, or acting dumb because you think you're so young, everyone else is going to think you're dumb and young. And I remember when I just, like, planted both my feet before I went into the door for a meeting and just was like, you know, it's not that I said to myself, I'm not young. I just was like, I know everything I need to know to do this.
Hmm.
And that shifted. The rest is history. And so it really does come from us, and it comes from practice. You know, like even like that old saying of looking in the mirror, like say it in the mirror until you laugh at yourself. Get all the giggles out and get all the you can't believe this out. And then, you know, in the mirror, tell yourself, this is what I do, and this is why I believe in it. Until you feel like you can say that to another human being.
Yeah.
I mean, you would be attracted to doing it if you didn't know there was great merit in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I really wouldn't.
Right. Like, I was a client first before I was a coach. So when I went into this untried, unheard of thing. Oh, that's awesome. What does that sound?
Sounds like a tip is coming in.
Wow. We've got a train going in the background. Put the mute on. Start singing. Or you're vacuuming.
Oh, yeah.
So, what was I going to say? You know, if you have an experience with energy medicine, then that's what makes you a fan, and that's what you talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that noise coming from you?
No.
Wow. All right, hold on. I'm gonna see if I can make anything happen here. Oh, thank goodness.
It's on.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phew! All right. That was something. All right. So where does that leave you?
That's really helpful. Something you said in your example tweaked for me.
Wow.
When you were saying that, you know, you didn't think people would respect you, so you were sort of telegraphing that, I'm finding I'm really getting triggered by my boss, the perception I have that she doesn't respect me,
mm-hmm.
or other people. So clearly I've got a belief that people don't respect me, or I don't respect myself, or I don't deserve respect, or something. So, yeah. I mean, in terms of working on that belief as well, kind of in parallel,
mm-hmm.
how, I mean, the physical thing of planting your feet and is there anything else that you would suggest?
Yep. This is an old acting trick, speaking to, you know, Pat, we talked about being an actor. I was an actor first, and one of my first training jobs as I moved into coaching was to teach other people how to do interviews using acting skills, how to go on job interview.
Mm.
And we would make people think, and I'm going to have you think of a time when you respected yourself, when you were proud of yourself, when you had confidence about something that you were doing. Can you think of a specific event and tell us about it?
Probably when I did... I did a public speaking, I did a couple of public speaking classes, and I always got a lot of really great feedback,
mm-hmm.
and despite the fact that that's something that, you know, I still have some nerves around, I mean, I felt really proud of myself that I was getting really great feedback, so I was really feeling like I was obviously communicating something, you know, of myself, and I felt really proud about that.
Cool. All right, so think of that moment when you felt that feeling. And let's call that hitting your mark, right? So when an actor has to be on that piece of tape in front of the camera or, like, knows center stage is marked by a piece of tape, that means getting on your mark.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're ready to go through the door and you plant your feet, you're also getting on your emotional mark.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of that time of when you had that success and you bring that into your muscle memory and you're like, okay, I'm going to walk it through this threshold into this meeting or into this telling my parents or whatever it is from this place of having hit my mark of that time that everyone gave me great feedback about my presentation. That's me today. That's me. So you use that to like your body has memory And we call that sense memory in acting. So you have a sense memory of that feeling. And that's what you try to get to when you're losing your confidence. You just go back to the sense memory of when you had that confidence.
Hmm. Great. That's really helpful. I'll start practicing it tomorrow.
That works. Good. And let's talk about that, because you also, how do I know Jody? Everyone, just so you kind of know why we seem to have a more relationship than some of the other people on the call, is that Jody's participating in our home study course, and we just started another round in January, and that's been our home study course is 13 videos of me walking you through the Now What book, which you also get the Now What book electronically and the Now What electronic workbook. But this January round, we're also doing a Facebook group together. So that's how I know Jody. And you also mentioned, you know, I have this dream and I have to stay at my job and I hate my job. I'm hating it more every day. How do I not feel guilty for not giving my job my best? How you get through the job thing when you're building something else is that you wake up every day and instead of going, "Ugh, I gotta go to my job," you think and you say and you write down, "What's the one thing I'm doing towards my dream today?"
Hmm.
What's the one thing? I'm going to make a phone call at lunch to someone I'm networking with, or I'm going to go out at lunch and research something, or I'm going to be really brave and ask the first person to become my client, or, you know, maybe the thing that day is just making money so you can keep going and building towards your dream. But instead of thinking, how do I get through another day of that crud, think of, what's the one thing I'm doing for my dream today? And let the rest of it be secondary.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really helpful.
And when you know you've done at least one thing a day towards the dream, the work just doesn't own you the same way. The work becomes a means to an end. It's a vehicle to get you where you want to go.
Mm. Yeah, that's really helpful. I can see that will give me like a push, and it'll make me feel positive and kind of get the momentum going.
Very different come from. And I always tell people after they leave coaching with me, I'm like, just do one thing a day towards the dream. One thing a day. What's it going to be? It can be one phone call, 1 hour of research. You know, setting up a corner of your dining room as your new office, whatever it's going to be, one thing a day.
Mm. That's really great. This call is recorded, right? I'd love to go back and listen through again.
Everyone will get the recording. Everyone will get the recording.
That's great.
And let me say one more thing about guilt. Oh, good. I'm so glad. Well, let me say one more thing about guilt for everybody's sake.
Yeah.
Long time ago, I looked at guilt, and I was like, there's good guilt and bad guilt, kind of like the good witch and the bad witch, like the good guilt and the bad guilt. And good guilt is the guilt that's trying to tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, you might form a regret here. You know, so for example, if I'm going to California, that's where my sister lives, and I don't see her very often, and I'm going to L.A., I would feel guilty if I didn't try to at least see her in person. And not because it's a bad kind of guilt, but like the good guilt of like, I really would regret not doing a better job of trying to, you know, keep forging our relationship. But the bad guilt is when you tell yourself, you know, a good person would, or you're bad, or you should, or, you know, if you really were a good daughter or a good son or whatever, that's the bad guilt. So when it comes to your job, you know, it's great that you have a work ethic and that you feel a responsibility to do a good job. But, again, just make sure you're not building some kind of regret. And if you're not, then the rest of it's just rubbish and you know, that other kind of guilt that's just a should.
Yeah. I think it leans more on the bad guilt side when you put it like that.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to do a good enough job. You want to be able to, you know, didn't feel like you burned any bridges, but at the same time, you know, your job's a means to an end right now.
Yeah. It's not going to really matter in 20 years.
No.
You know.
Well, thanks for your questions. These are great, and I'm sure that other people can get something out of them.
Great. Well, thank you. That was really, really helpful.
Good. Thanks for being on, Jody. I have one more email question, so I'm going to read that one, and then if anyone's wondering in the background, you got to get up the courage, because once we run out of questions, we run out of call time. And let me see. I'm checking my email to see if anyone's sending us any fresh questions. And my phone gets the email faster than my computer. What's that about, people? Okay. Nope, it's sleepy out there. All right, so here's one. I thought this was a great question that came to me this week. I have somebody who I worked with a long time ago who has left their company after 18 years, and they're actively interviewing, and they have a great network, but she asked about her LinkedIn profile. You know, should I leave it alone for a while? Ooh, somebody's doing the dishes. Press star six. Thank you. Nope. All right, she said, you know, what should I do about my LinkedIn? I'm inclined to do nothing about it for a few weeks, but eventually I have to get my title and employer off of there. Any advice? So, it's okay to be a couple of weeks out of date on your LinkedIn, so even a month, you know, if you're up, leave your stuff up there with the old title. But what I had recommended to her, and I think it might be a good tip for anybody listening tonight, is when you're in active search mode on LinkedIn, you can put on your LinkedIn profile your intention of, you know, kind of describing, not an objective like we used to do on the top of a resume, but like just giving yourself a description. So an experienced fundraiser in the private sector, in the public sector, seeking opportunities in X, Y, or Z. So you can kind of make that right there like a poster of, you know, what your experience is and what you're looking for. But I heard, you know, her concern of keeping up her old job and company, which will then move into kind of the resume portion of her LinkedIn. But like I said, it's okay to be out of date by a couple of weeks, but then you have to change it to something else. All right, anyone have a question?
So, Laura, with that for LinkedIn, would that go as your headline, or that will go on your profile, like you just said?
Your headline.
Okay.
Yeah, I am fascinated by the sound that is following us tonight.
And I think part of my question before as well is, and it's probably more of a personal stance of, do you take something knowing that it's not forever, which may delay you to get to what your dream job is, or do you continue to push where you are until it's clearly defined? And me being very methodical, I know things do not work A to Z. So you may have to take something, and I say something as a job or a role, even me taking this temporarily. But if a full-time opportunity does come my way because of my diverse background and skill set, I wonder, should I take that and keep looking? But, you know, looking for a job while you have a job is a full-time job.
You know, it's always easier to get a job when you have a job.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and also, you know, it depends on your finances. And, you know, and also you have to remember that starting a new job, you're going to have a learning curve for at least 60 to 90 days. So it's not like you're going to have time to be pursuing your other thing. But the less stress you have in your life, the easier it is to make changes. So that's what whatever's going to bring you the most peace is what I'd recommend.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
I have a question.
Yeah, what's
your
name?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
It's Marion in Tallahassee.
Hey, I just did your question.
I know, and I was listening, but I was star fixing, so thank you for that. So how do you feel about while you're looking, because the last person had a very good point, do you take a job just to have a job, or is it okay to volunteer somewhere significant? You may not be paid, but it's something on your resume of substance while you're looking for the job that you're a very good fit with.
It's good to have something, but a job requires so much energy. So if you don't have to take a job immediately, if you can take more time, then I'd say a volunteer thing is a better choice. Mm-hmm. You know, it all gets down to, you know, if you're financing your dream or if you have to get a job right away for financial reasons and then keep working towards the dream.
Okay, and then last question would be, what about becoming a franchisee? How do you feel about people that take their opportunity to transition and, you know, go the franchisee route of some nature?
I can't give, like, just the general flat answer to that. I mean, I'd have to know, Marion, what, you know, what it is, how you feel about it, where does it fit into a long-term plan for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a big investment, and, you know, it's great because it comes ready-made, it's turnkey. You know, you don't have to brand and create materials and all that. But, you know, where does it fit in your plan? Is it something that you would love to be spending your days doing? Is it something you really just want to be an owner of and within a year you're not doing anything with it? It works by itself. You know, I'd want to know where it fits into a longer-term plan for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah. You know, I'd have a neighbor who became a franchisee locally and, you know, really tough in the beginning. And, you know, once it gets going, he's barely there. Someone else manages it. But, you know, that has to be part of your plan.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Thanks.
Good to hear your voice. Hope you don't mind I used your question.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Anyone else tonight?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, great. Okay. Hi, Laura. We spoke a number of years ago.
My name is Michael.
Hi. And I was also an engineer. And shortly after we spoke, it was a number of years ago, I started I joined a patent firm. And I wrote patents. For a law firm for a while. And I liked that for a bit. The only problem was I hated my commute and I hated the physical environment where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of things happened. My father passed away and my mother started needing a bit more help. And luckily, they were in the position that they made it such that I didn't have to work at a job for a while. Now it's been a while since I've had a job, and I'm getting back into it. I've been offered my job back at the patent firm, and they even said that I could, if I wanted to, work from home most days and not have to come into the office. So I'm really seriously considering it. But at the same time, I'm considering going the freelance route. I've been away from your materials for a while. I did read the book, and I'm one of those who didn't complete all of the exercises. So you said that there was a home course?
Yeah, we have a home study course right now, which is it doesn't all take place online, but it's all electronic. You do watch videos online, and then there's the book and the workbook. It might, you know, get you back more deeply into it. But back to your situation. What's the difference between you working from home for them on salary and freelancing? Would you not work for them at all and you would freelance as a patent attorney?
I wouldn't be a patent. I'd be a patent. I'd just be a patent writer.
Writer. Okay.
Yeah, I never got the USPTO certification for a number of reasons, not having to do with the test itself. But the main difference is not having to spend. I spend about 3 hours a day commuting, and I just don't do well in cities, in really concentrated cities. So I might be a little agoraphobic also. So that's the main difference. Oh, you're saying something about the difference between salary and freelancing. I see. Okay, the difference would be that I wouldn't have to work exclusively for them. I could do the same thing for a number of potential employers concurrently.
Ah, good. Okay. That's cool.
And
I mean, the one thing I want to encourage you about is if they want you back, and they're willing to let you work from home, you hold the power. You know, they need you. They want you back. So you know, you said you didn't like the work environment and you didn't like the commute. So you really could call the shots. You know, Sam, so before you give up a salary, look at it that way. You know, as long as you know you have a backup, you can always walk away and do it freelance, then you can ask for what you want. You hold the cards in this situation.
Yeah.
So you can say, you know, I'm going to work from home and I will come in twice a month. Say hello. That's it. You know, and you can call the shot. So ask for what you want before you throw that out completely.
Okay. Hey, Laura, have you ever heard of bullet journaling?
I can take a guess at that and say yes, but no, not specifically.
Okay, because in terms of making plans, I found that's helping me a lot.
Great.
Following through organization, and for me that was a real challenge, and that's helped me a lot. Just throwing that out there for people who might find organizing things, including a career change, to be a challenge in itself.
Thank you. Well, cool. Well, excellent, and thanks for sharing the details. They all make a difference, you know. When I'm working quickly with you guys on the phone like this, the more detail you can give me, the better. Well, I hope that helps. Great. Good. Thanks. Welcome back. So you heard me mentioning our home study kit, which everyone who signed up for this will get the video. You'll get an email as to where to find the video, and I'm going to give you a coupon code to get a good amount of money off the home study kit, and I wish I could give you the code tonight, but I can't because my assistant is working on a cruise ship this week for somebody else, and she can't write to me. So when we send you out the email with this video, will also direct you to where you can claim that coupon. In the meanwhile, check out nowwhatcoaching.com. You can always email me at lbf@intercoach.com. And I thank you so much for being here tonight.
I have a quick question.
Okay. Last quick question.
It's really about the call. I did see on the website that there was a sample call that was out there, and it has listened. So will our call be out there, or is this more private, or, you know, how does this work?
If you're concerned about it being posted, just write to me.
Okay.
All right. We will edit you out. All right, so I want to wrap it up. I had oral surgery, and my mouth hurts. So imagine what I look like a chipmunk, because that's what I look like right now. So
hope you
everyone
feel better.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for being on the call and all of you
thank
listening.
You.
And stay on our list, and we'll let you know when we do the next one. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Feel better.
Good night. Bye-bye.